Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org.
Bonjour, Ozawagi Jagokwe Indishnakas, Bekajanong Dunjaba, Mijikan Dodem.
From another world.
My name is Amy White, and I write to say the hard things that need to be said and heard for all of us to heal. I do this for my Anishinaabeg community, but also for the larger Indigenous community across Turtle Island. Miigwech.
I'm Vivian Carroll, Cherokee Nation poet. I write to breathe life to the images uncorked in my psyche.
My name is Victoria Gonzalez. I'm from Santa Fe, Nuevo Mexico. I'm Zacateco, and I write fiction to entertain.
My name is Blue Tarpalichi. I'm Muscogee Creek from Okmulgee, Oklahoma, and I write to continue the 400-year tradition of Creeks writing.
Mi nombre es Sharon Ann Henderson, Dene At'ane Nishle. My name is Sharon Henderson. I'm from the Dene Nation. I write to heal, to carry messages of hope and love for self and others, to be an example for my daughter to never be afraid of her own voice.
More voices from tomorrow's writers, creative writing MFA students at the Institute of American Indian Arts. So these voices represent different Native nations and tribes from all across North America. But do you have to be Native American to write Native American fiction? Kevin Gooden grew up among the Salish people on the Flathead Indian Reservation. His brothers and his stepfather are tribal members, but Kevin is white. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him about his new book of poems called Anaphora. And I should warn you, they're about suicide. Here's one.
When Jimmy told people he could fly, nobody came. So when he let loose his rope, he was alone. But all night long over the roofs of the trailer court, people could hear him calling, "Get out of bed, you motherfuckers. I'm Harry fucking Houdini, and I can fly."
Wow, that's an amazing poem.
Thank you.
Tell me about Jimmy. Who is Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy's a cousin of mine who grew up on the reservation. He has or had a sister and a brother, and his mother would drop them off at our trailer house when she was working at the gas station, so we would all hang out at the house when we were little kids. He was a very sensitive, kind of mischievous person. He was the life of the party. He'd be really, really quiet and shy, and then he would say something that just busted everybody's gut. And you could tell there was something that he was dealing with as he got into his teen years. And when he turned 21, he was living back at home. He had left his girlfriend, said he had to figure some things out, moved back to his mother's house, and she was working the night shift at the gas station. And when she came home, the house was cold. The fire in the wood stove had gone out. So she went out to get firewood, and he was hanging there.
Oh, that's terrible. I just want to say I'm sorry to hear what happened to your friend and your cousin. But that was 25 years ago. Why write about him now?
Well, it was November, the month that he ended his life. And suddenly, it was like I was just sort of transcribing what was being given to me. It was as if Jimmy was giving these poems to me to write. I didn't sit down and say, now I'm going to write about Jimmy. It just happened.
One thing I read about it, which I found very surprising, if you could explain it, I guess, is that on the reservation after Jimmy committed suicide, they didn't speak of him, right? They wouldn't speak of him at all.
No, nobody has said anything. I did bring him up to my mother and a brother of mine. I said, what may have happened there? And this was long after I had written the work that I have written. And my brother, who he had had a few cans of his favorite Montana microbrew by this time, and he said, no, Jimmy looked into the abyss and saw that life was meaningless. So that was all that was ever spoken of him after the funeral.
It's like they tried to obliterate his memory. I mean, doesn't that seem strange to you or upsetting to you?
Yeah, well, that's, I've carried that wondering and I suppose a kind of anger about that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a situation of shame. There's some sort of stigma of shame about somebody committing suicide.
You know, I want to stop here just for a moment because I think it's very important that we talk about something here just to clear up. You are not Native American. So how did you end up having a cousin and brothers who are Native?
Interesting question. So my mother and stepfather got married when I was 4. And shortly thereafter, we moved up from Missoula, Montana, up to Pablo, Montana, which is on the reservation. So I'm like the whitest person you could ever imagine. I have blondish, now reddish hair, but when I was a kid, it was like neon white.
So what was it like growing up an Irish Swedish kid on a Native American reservation? What was that like?
Well, it was one of those sort of surreal situations when I started going to school. Kids traditionally played cowboys and Indians and so on, I suppose. We played Indians and Custer, and I was Custer.
You were Custer, man.
So I learned how to run very fast. Growing up on the reservation was a gift. My stepfather taught me a lot about the environment. He worked for the tribe in their reforestation program. So he would tell me a lot about various trees. We'd talked about animals. There was a time on the reservation where if a tribal member was married to a non-tribal member, the non-tribal member and guardians could go hunting. The caveat was that the non-tribal members could not shoot an animal, of course. So we would go with him out in the woods, and he would teach me about tracking animals and survival skills and all of these wonderful things. And so that aspect of it was a gift that a lot of kids don't get. He took me to some places that now non-natives can't go. So I got to witness parts of the landscape that are kept away from non-natives.
You lived on the reservation basically your whole life, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
So I got to ask you a question. It's a loaded question, but I think it's one we have to ask you. If culturally and so much of your life, even spiritually, is Native American on this reservation and you were raised there, do you consider yourself an American Indian?
No, I can't do that. When I'm on the reservation, when I'm back visiting family and stuff, it's great to be back there. It feels like home. And we always make jokes about my awkward whiteness. My parents will introduce us to friends of theirs, and my brothers will say, this is our oldest brother. He's the albino in the family. Or, you know, when I was a kid and my stepfather would take me down to Kmart down in Missoula, you know, I'd run around looking at all these toys and basketball hoops and so on. And then I would be trying to con him into getting something. And I'd say, well, we really need this and we really need that. And he would stop and look at me and he'd say, what's this we, white man? You know, so we tend to make jokes about the fact that I'm much more pale than everybody else.
In your heart, and I don't want to overpress this, but like,
yeah,
when in your heart at 3 a.m, and you know what I mean, or you're going for a walk in the woods alone, like, who are you? Are you in limbo? Are you white? Are you Native? I mean, what are you?
Well, I'm, it's hard for me to say that I am this or I am that. I kind of live in that space in between that's undecided.
What about this book? Is this book Native American poetry?
Boy, I don't know if I would classify that as Native American poetry. I mean, that's part of the subject matter, of course, but I think I would wince a little bit if somebody called it a book of Native American poetry.
What do you call it?
This is going to sound obvious. I call it a book. I don't put it into any categories. Maybe it's just a book about trying to deal with the loss of somebody who was close. An elegy, let's call it that.
An elegy, that's fair. It seems like Jimmy is lost. Because no one remembered him, he is lost. And I know you're trying to bring him back through the book and through the words, but I also read your poem, and there's another guy that's lost in the poems, and that's you. Are you in purgatory with Jimmy?
I hadn't thought of it until you mentioned it, but oh, let's go with that.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. So you are in purgatory with Jimmy?
Yeah.
So what brings you guys back?
Well, there's the hope, I guess, huh?
Yeah. What are you hoping for?
For myself, not much, but I'm hoping that Jimmy, because he's in print, he gets to last longer than he would have if he weren't in print.
Wow.
That some aspect of him remains in the world. You know, when I go away, something of him will remain. Because right now it seems that I'm pretty much the only one that considers him.
Can you read another poem for us?
Yeah.
It's the last poem, page 69.
Sure. Falling snow begins to shine. November, Jimmy tucked into the ground, Joe Grady flame. I take a selfie at the water tower, the warning light strobing, and I think about God, how untranslatable his actions are to the yearnings of our little moments, when we sway grateful to feel it all, tomorrow, and when we return to the beginning of our calling and remember the flourishings and write them in a book. We say home is what is granted, and yet I am here in the methed out ghost town to which our childhoods will always belong.
Gavin Gooden, reading from his new book of poetry called Anaphora. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him and also produced this hour. So normally at this point, I say goodbye, read the show credits, mention our distributor. But today, Ojibwe hip-hop artist Tall Paul is going to close the hour with a rap to the Great Spirit. It's in Anishinaabewin, and the words ask for strength, love, and help in keeping the old ways, in living a good life.
Get ye money, do we do kawashin? Jamushka wizzy yan, me dush ba me it dizzy yan, me jishanam zagye ewe when gnu jishanam bizendel wishanam, me wane janugga mo yan, nima show miss we do kawashanam, jit I budget too young, anishanabe yishitwawin, me jibbe get came to mind, kaya anishanabe be my dizzy win.
PRX.